Well, I've lived more of my adult life in South Sudan than any place else, but since 1989, I've been in one of the Sudans, yeah, every year, all the time.
And you're in the summer months here in Bethel because?
Because that's when there's fewer patients in our clinic. There are two reasons there's fewer patients. One is that it's flooded, and so the patients can't get to us very easily. And the second is that the Kalizar numbers go way down by May, and so just because of the epidemiology of the disease. So then there are not as many Kalizar patients there, so then I leave. But the national staff that works in our organization, they continue the program. It doesn't stop.
So Kalizar is your specialty. What is Kalizar?
It's a parasitic disease. It's transmitted by a sandfly, like a little noceum, and it bites people and transmits the parasite leishmania that goes into your body, gives you fevers and wasting and a big spleen, and then you usually die severely malnourished. But there's treatment. That's my specialty, because we can treat it.
What do you specialize when you're in Bethel?
These past few years, I've mostly worked either in the wards or in the emergency room. It is a different type of practice, but there's a lot of TB here, and there's a lot of TB in Old Fangak as well. So those types of things are the same, and there's a lot of infection here, and a lot of infection in South Sudan. So that type of thing is actually the same. It's much more similar than you would think.
How are the communities of Bethel, Alaska, and Old Fangak, South Sudan? What are the similarities there that you see?
I think that family is a similar concept in both places. Family takes care of you. We don't have orphans in Old Fangak because family takes care of children. And I think that's similar in both places. In Old Fangak, people are very traditional and have lots of traditional beliefs. But still, very many people do want really good health care. So they're very willing to try to access health care, which is similar in both places.
And you also mentioned during your talk fish camps. There's fish camps in both places.
Yeah. Our fish camps in Old Fangak are different than our fish camps in Bethel. And that's probably because it freezes during the winter here. There are other camps that people go to. They have winter camps. And, you know, people go moose hunting, go to a different camp. And that's the same in South Sudan. They have cattle camp, which is near the water, where the cattle can go when the area gets drier, and so they all need to go to the place where there's water. So everybody goes there, and you stay basically with the source of nutrition, fish or milk, and those types of things are very much alike.
How do you get blood transfusions there? Where does the blood come from?
So most of the blood comes from relatives, so we just ask and we test the blood. In emergencies, people like myself can donate blood pretty easily too. And we do have all the rapid tests now to make sure that, as best we can, that people are getting good blood.
And you said that you often donate your own blood to your patients who are coming into the clinics?
Yeah. You know, in Bethel, we also used to donate. We had a walking blood bank all the time. It's not until all these new diseases that came that required incredible amounts of testing and a lot of blood bank rules, which mostly have been very wonderful, that has separated the people from who they donate from. And so in Bethel, we used to have walking blood banks. We would announce on the radio that we needed whatever type of blood it was, and people would come to the hospital and donate.
It seems like you could go so many places in the world. Why do you keep returning to South Sudan?
My goodness. When I first went overseas, there was a huge Kalizar epidemic. 50% of the population was already dead, and the world did not even know that. And it was a place where there was a lot of need, and people asked us to be there, and we could work within a community. And because of that, I developed perhaps a solidarity with the people there, trying to make things work, make their healthcare system a nice one, rather than only rich people get healthcare and poor people, you know, sit on the steps and starve. And we've been doing that for many, many years. You make a commitment to a group of people, and we work together.
How do you stay safe when you're there?
Well, I think the community helps keep us safe. Fortunately, we happened to choose a place that had no roads. If there's no roads, tanks can't come, and we don't have anything important, so there's no helicopter gunships for our oil, because we don't have any. So I think that that's, of course, logistically why we ended up safe, but it's also because the people in the area, and I think it's because of the healthcare in the area, because the people really like that they have healthcare. The healthcare workers are very well respected. So we're very fortunate.
What keeps you going back year after year?
Well, they don't have the healthcare system working yet, so we're still trying to make it work so they can have healthcare even when I'm no longer around.